2012 was a fast year, but then again, which year isn't fast? It's not encouraging when I tell people, or people remind me, the older we get, the faster it goes. It's not going to slow down. But just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for each one here, and I ask, Father, please, that we will recognize you in our midst, your presence, your spirit, your word being powerful and reaching our hearts, and help us to meet with you and to know you're meeting with us. And may in that time of communion with you, may in every way, Father, this place that we are in, this that our feet are touching, become holy ground because of your presence. And I pray, Father, we leave here today knowing that we've met with you and been given whatever things you want each one of us to receive, and that we've been fed. And I pray that you'll be glorified. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. We think about New Year's, and we think about, we talked a little bit about that this morning in Sunday school resolutions. And a lot of people try to make resolutions and try to change things in their life. And you know, a lot of times when you start out with resolutions, you start out, well, this year I'm going to add to my life this habit or this discipline or whatever the case might be. Today I want us to think about something a little bit different than that, and that would be that we're going to decrease something in our life to gain something. And so a little bit of a twist on how to approach our new year. There are things that we can decrease and things that we should increase in our life. Some of you that are on Facebook see people once in a while where they're clear their names. Okay, all of you that are on this list, you're not very active, so I'm taking your names off. Or even your names, you people are irritating or depressing or negative. You're coming off the list, and we're going to start over with those that are positive, trying to eliminate negativity in our life. We might say, well, we're going to try to lose weight, so what we're going to do is we're going to exercise. Or we're going to decrease our workload, therefore we're going to have relaxation. Or we're going to decrease our bad habits and to have more good habits. We're going to decrease our spending with the economy that we have around us, as we see milk maybe going up to $8 a gallon possibly. That's going to affect and have its ripple effect. So we decrease our spending so we have savings. We decrease our chores so we have more time with the family. We decrease stress with hobby time. We decrease waste with recycling. We decrease our regrets with healed relationships. There are a lot of things that we could approach each year to make the year better. That's what we want. We want a prosperous year. So I'm going to look at a few things here today that first, our greatest desire should be Christ. Before we look at what we need to decrease in our life that we might gain increase, is the focus of our life. Whatever, you know, I'm not into resolutions, but if people make resolutions, the bottom line is for Christians is that we are focused on Christ, that we're living for Him, that we are doing what He's called us to do, and seeking His counsel and wisdom in every unique and particular situation that we have in our own individual lives. And then yielding our lives to Him, aligning our lives to His will, and walking in step with Jesus. That's the best thing we can do to have a year that has purpose and meaning and that glorifies God, is by putting Him first. The desire should be Christ first. In John 3, 22 through 30, it says, "And after this, Jesus and His disciples went to the Judean countryside, where He spent time with them and baptized. John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salem. Because there was plenty of water there, people were coming and being baptized. Since John had not been yet thrown into prison, a dispute arose between John's disciples and a Jew about purification." We're getting to the point here. "So they came to John and told him, 'Rabbi, the one you testified about and who was with you across the Jordan is baptizing.'" Who is that? John the Baptist, right? "And everyone is flocking to him." That's Jesus. They're being baptized after following Jesus, and then John the Baptist was baptizing unto repentance. So two different types of baptisms there. John the Baptist was preparing people to receive the Messiah that was coming. Therefore, he would lead them to a baptism of repentance, a heart that said, "I'm not going to do wrong, I'm going to do right, I'm going to yield myself to God," Remember when Jesus came, when do you and I get baptized as Christians? We get baptized after we receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, right? As a statement of our faith to Christ, that we're going to die to ourselves, that we're going to live for Him. Therefore, we're laid in the water as we're laid in the tomb. We come up out of the water as we're resurrected, like new life in Christ, living a new life for Jesus. And so the disciples were seeing these things go on. He was seeing those that were following John, baptism under repentance, and then they saw an increase of baptisms that were taking place with those that were following this new person on the scene called Jesus. And they were concerned about it. They were frustrated about it. And so in verse 26 it says, "So they came to John and told him, 'Rabbi, the one you have testified about and who was with you across the Jordan is baptizing, and everyone is flocking to him.'" Can you hear that? Everybody's flocking to him. We want them to flock to you, not to him. That's what they're saying. John responded, "No one can receive a single thing unless it's given to him from heaven. Every good gift comes from God." We need to remember that. "You yourselves can testify that I said, 'I am not the Messiah, but I have been sent ahead of him.' He who has the bride and has the groom, but the groom's friend who stands by and listens to him rejoices greatly at the groom's voice. So this joy of mine is complete." And this is the point that I made in the introduction of this message. He must increase, but I must decrease. Now, I was thinking about it when we're looking at a New Year's message. You're thinking, okay, how can we have a better year? How can we increase ourselves? How can we be more prosperous? How can we gain more? How can we? How can we? How can we? And we focus on the gain of what we can get this year. And what I'd like to do is switch that around a little bit to say, well, instead of looking at how much we can gain this year, let's look at what biblically we should be doing. We should be doing just the opposite. We should be decreasing in ourselves. And we say, well, that's being economy. Does that mean weight? All these things. No, those were just examples. But on a spiritual basis, we should learn to decrease ourselves in order for Christ's increase in our relationship with Him. Does that make sense? The more we die to ourselves, the more we live for Christ. The more we die to ourselves, the more we come to know Him. Okay? These types of things. And so, John was saying, from the physical standpoint, I know what my role was. I was to present the Messiah that's coming. I must decrease. That's part of the plan. Jesus must increase. That's the physical attributes of the ministry of John the Baptist and that of Jesus coming on the scene. But on a spiritual parallel, if we're going to grow spiritually, then we have to decrease to ourselves, and that Christ might yield more in our life for His glory. And so in Matthew 4:18-22, to decrease is to increase in Christ. So you see the transition from the physical John the Baptist and the physical Jesus and the baptisms that were going on, and John saying, "I got to decrease." Jesus is supposed to increase, to the spiritual. We are to decrease that Christ might increase. Matthew 4:18-22. "As he was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the sea, since they were fishermen. 'Follow me,' he told them, 'and I will make you fish for people.' Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James and John, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him." What do you see happening here that was the decreasing factor that generated an increase of Jesus in their life? The fact that they left their business, they left their family, they left their home, they left everything that they had, everything they were, everything that made up who they were, their career, their relationship, their geographical upbringing, their homeland, everything, to follow Jesus, and they immediately followed after Christ. The word "left" there in the Greek, it means to forsook or forsake, omit it, laid aside. That means that our lives are willing, as we follow Christ immediately, we forsake, omit, and lay aside anything that stands in the way of us following Jesus. And the things that are closest to us are the hardest. For a lot of people, what's closest to them is their pocketbook. Right there. The other one is family. Or homeland or whatever. Whatever God calls us to leave for Him, when we're willing to yield to His leadership in our life, then what happens is that we gain a greater understanding of Him, and we increase in Him, and He is glorified more through us. So this year, as we're thinking about the new year, what are we thinking about? How much more we can prosper? How much more we can get ahead? How much more we can manage things? Okay, that's okay, but that's not the priority. The priority in our life is how much we can be more Christ-like, how much God can use us more for Him, how much we can become more transformed into the image of Christ, displaying His character, His priorities, all of these things. And the only way we can do that is by responding immediately to what He says. And that's what they did here. They left. You know, He said, follow Me, and I will make you fish for people. Right? And so they left. The word immediately means at once or straightway. Done. When you first heard Christ, the gospel of Christ, some of you wrestled with it quite a while. Others of you heard the gospel for the first time and said, yes, I want Christ. And so sometimes there's a struggle to let go. But God has still called us to do so. And that's the decrease part. And then the word followed, it means to be in the same way with. I like that. It also means to accompany as a disciple. I like that. To be in the same way with means that I'm going to walk and conduct myself in the same pattern that Christ has set for me. That's the goal. To walk and to be in step of the same pattern of Christ. This is how Christ would do things. This is how Christ prioritizes things. This is how God thinks. This is what God's Word says. This is what God, the Holy Spirit, has told me in my own heart that He wants me to yield my life to, so that I can become more Christ-like and people can see Christ in me. I can be the light and the salt and the person that God has called me to be in this world, to be in the same way with Jesus. Okay? Or to accompany as a disciple. Do you remember when we talked about the rabbis would say to be a Talmudan disciple of Christ is the one that was chosen and called by the rabbi, and they would go through a special 3-year special training in the scriptures and memorization and all that stuff. But the saying of the Hebrew rabbis was to walk in the dust of the rabbi is to be the best rabbi you can be. Well, Jesus was a rabbi. And to walk in the very dust that stirs up from the sandals of Jesus walking in the dirt, that very dust we're in the midst of too. We're in the midst of Jesus, following Him, in step with Him, being the same way with Jesus, accompany Him as a disciple. And the product of that would be that He will make us fishers of men. Now that's a quaint little thing, isn't it? And we can look at John chapter 5 and the parallel of casting the net and going into deep waters and all that, like we have that sign in the back of the sanctuary, launch out into the deep. But the spiritual aspect of becoming a fisher of men is something that reflects something of great importance, the heart. Your heart and my heart is not going to desire to win people to Christ on our own. Your heart and my heart will only have a desire to share the gospel and help people come to know Jesus because we're walking in the dust of our master, our rabbi, Jesus. And so we as we follow Christ and we learn what He wants us to yield up for Him, Satan tries to throw a curveball and say, you're going to miss out on some real joy. You're going to miss out on life. You're going to miss out and God's trying to rob you of the fullness of life. That's the opposite of the truth. When we yield ourselves to God and deny ourselves that which our flesh wants and yield by our own spirit to God and walk in step with Him, then the product is a closer relationship with God and a greater definition and direction in life. Ezekiel 36:26. I love this verse. New verse found. I mean, it's not new. It's been there all the time, but it's new for me. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Now, I've heard the first part before, that I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I've heard that passage before. But the second part, I haven't heard that much for some reason, where it says, I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Well, what would it, well, of course my heart is of flesh. And of course my heart's not of stone. So what is God talking about through Ezekiel? The hard spots in our heart that we've said we love more than God. The only reason people will love darkness and sin more than Jesus. And we can't categorize that just as non-believers and believers. Because as believers, we have a sinful nature, and we can look at sin. We know things that are wrong, that there's an element of us that wants to hold on to that, acknowledged or not acknowledged. And those are the stony places, and some of the stones are big, and some of the stones are small. But nonetheless, they're stones. And God said, I want to remove the stone heart and replace it with the heart of flesh. That's tender. Right now, I feel the electric impulses firing off in my heart, literally, from that machine. I know that my heart is tender in that respect. But much more, I want the tenderness of my Lord in my heart. I don't want to be hard toward Him. I want to be tender toward Him. And that's the heart that God wants to make. But He calls us, and He says, leave. And He says, follow. And do it immediately. And I will make you fishers of men. And I will replace the heart of stone with a heart of flesh that's tender for God. We have a new year ahead of us. How are we going to use it? What will this new year be? Well, let's see, the Mayan calendar in 2012. We're tired of hearing about that. We know nothing happened. We're still here, right? You know, it's kind of like Y2K. Hold on, here it comes. The financial fiscal cliff, here it comes. It may or may not be there, but I think it will be, but who knows? What will this year hold? We want prosperity. But the key to a prosperous life is not one that says, give me all that I can get and have. It's one that is willing to yield ourselves to God and let God work in our lives to transform us to be more like Him. That our lives are assured of knowing that we've spent our life and our energy and our time loving Jesus, following Jesus. When God calls us home, to be able to have the confidence to say, I know that I was in the will of God in my life. Sure, I've sinned. Sure, I've struggled. Sure, I've had my daily good days and bad days walking in the Spirit. But I know that when I look at my life in its entirety, from the best my memory can serve, that my heart has always been one that desires Jesus. That's what our hearts should be saying. To follow Him, to know that we've been in step, not just desiring, but to know that we've been in the will of God for our life. You know, we might look at this new year and we might say, I have 8,760 hours of opportunity. The truth is, we don't know if we have another hour of opportunity. God could take us home at any time. So what's the key? Things you already know and that I already know. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. See, somewhere in our mind and our thinking, we think we know what's best for us and what we want that's going to make life worthwhile. But if we resolve in our own spirit, in relationship to God, and say, I'm going to seek you first and trust that you're going to give me everything I want, may not be what we expect, may not be the way that God, the way that God provides for us may not be the way we expect. You know, the tired saying from your pastor, I may not get that Corvette or this or that, but those aren't really my heart's desires. My desire is to seek God first, and that should be our resolve for this year, as every year, every day, to seek Him first above my job, above my family, above where I live, above my circumstances, in everything, put Him first. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. In Romans 13:12, it says, the night is nearly over, and the daylight is near. So let us discard the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Time has already been spent and gone. Once it's gone, it's gone. And the time is coming when we'll be taken home. The time is coming when we'll stand before the Lord. And what little bit of time that we have, use it with great opportunity for the Lord. Every day, every moment, keeping our heart, our mind, our soul, and subject to God the best that we can. And if, you know, and as we struggle with that, not if, but as we each struggle with that, to pray, to latch on, to hold on, and to continue to be faithful to Jesus. Ephesians 5:15-17 says, pay careful attention then to how you walk. If there's ever a New Year's resolution, and again, I'm not into New Year's resolutions, but if there ever was one for the Christian, this is the one. Pay careful attention then how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise. Where does wisdom come from? The beginning of wisdom is what? The fear of God. If we allow our hearts to become hard and stone and we don't fear Him, we don't fear the consequence of our actions before our Heavenly Father, then we're only deceiving ourselves. But if we keep our heart tender before God, we're honest with ourselves before God, we yield ourselves to God, we let go as God calls us to let go, and we allow Him to do the work that He wants to do in our life to transform our hearts to be like Him. Pay careful attention then how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time. Daily walking with Jesus is the best way we can use our time. But we tend to categorize that as a norm. You know, hear what I'm saying as I interrupt this thought pattern? They say, well, I want to walk with Jesus every day. Yeah, well, that's already a done deal. It's secure. It's like a statement that isn't in focus. I'm walking with Jesus, but the question is, how well are we walking with Jesus every day? Making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. You and I have the opportunity to know what God's will is for each one of us as we follow Him every day. I think that's a rich blessing. Amen. That we can know God, who sits on His throne in heaven, and what His personal will is for you and I on a daily basis. You know, I like to say to the Lord, Lord, there's so much going on today. Would you just organize my time for me? Would you just organize the situation for me? And you know, one of the first things that God tells me, make sure you take time with me today first. Translate it. Before you do anything, Terry, sit down and read your Bible and pray. Because that's going to set the mood for the rest of the day. If we don't do that, it's more of a spiritual struggle. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Walk circumspectly, foot by foot, inch by inch, in the dust, following our Master, the Rabbi Jesus Himself. Careful to consider all circumstances and possible consequences. Be prudent. And finally, take the opportunity this year to decrease personally that he may increase. It's a weird statement, isn't it? For me to live is Christ and to die is gain, Paul said. That when we are willing to be that living sacrifice, Romans 12, 1 and 2, holy and acceptable and pleasing to God, which is our first. And I'm going to put the word responsibility. Take the opportunity this year to decrease personally that he may increase. What a twist on New Year's. What can I gain? What am I going to do? What am I going to do to get the best out of life? For us as Christians, the best thing we can do is die to ourselves and live for Jesus every day, every opportunity. Let's go to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each one here. Father, I can sense the gravity and the seriousness of your spirit, but I can also recognize your love. As if you're, I don't want to say crying out, but making your voice heard in such a way that says, I love you. I've got life for you. I've got opportunity for you. And to stay at task, to stay focused, to not be discouraged, to seek the Lord with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and strength, and to discover the things that God wants to do in and through our lives for you. If anything, I'm sensing that this morning for each one of us. And so as we see this year coming, Father, whatever it holds, whatever great and wonderful things that we have in this year, whatever unexpected things that we have, whatever things that we may be even expecting, we pray, Father, for your grace and your mercy and your love to hold us up to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.